The song is king.
Write drunk, edit sober.
Kill your darlings.
Whoa.
Hey, Songtown, welcome. I'm here with Marty Dotson today.
What's up?
We got a good one for you. We thought that we would talk to you about some pieces of songwriting advice that we've gotten over the years by writing with terrific Hall of Fame songwriters and artists and producers and just people that we admire that gave us some good advice along the way. We're going to pass that along. We got 5 points for you. Marty.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't exactly know all the stuff I'm going to talk about, but the song is king.
Ooh.
You know, when I first moved to Nashville from New York City, I never heard this expression, the song is king. And it's kind of a unique thing to Nashville, but it's very important because, as we saw in a previous episode, a lot of aspiring songwriters, when they're trying to co-write for the first time, they get in these situations where they're butting heads. Yeah. You know, my line's better. No, my line's better. And, you know, as soon as you walk into a co-write thinking, well, I've got to show how good I am, then the other person's like, well, wait a minute.
I'm not getting to show how good I am. Yeah.
You know, and so I heard it said the other day, I thought it was really cool. Somebody said that the biggest ego in the writing room needs to be the song. Yeah. And so it's really important that as writers, you know, that we learn to check our ego at the door. And while we're writing that song, that we're constantly checking in, going, okay, do I like this line because I came up with it? Or do I like the line because this is what the song needs?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's a whole different vibe if you have everybody in the room dedicated to making the song as good as it can be.
Yes.
As opposed to, like you said, making sure I've got enough lines in it or that my melody is being used or it's my idea. You know, and sometimes I'll hear people brag about, like, we always write my idea, you know, and it's great to come in with great ideas, but you have to watch that you're not pushing for that to happen and ignoring some great ideas. A friend of mine one time told me, like, he listed off 5 number one songs that he had rejected that idea with the co-writer. and I just started packing up my stuff. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, you're too dumb to write with, you know? But he was kind of in this mode of like, I want to write my ideas because I've thought about them before and I feel insecure.
Right.
But he had literally passed up 5 number one songs because of that, you know? So I think that's a great example of why it's important to keep the focus that we just want to write the best song we can write. And it doesn't matter who contributes what. At the end of the day, if it's great, we're all happy and we were all a part of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like in basketball. If there's a guy on the team that every shot he's taken is going in, well, I want to throw the ball to him. You know, we're all on the same team. So if you're in a writing session and somebody is coming up with some great lines, you don't want to stop them and try to get your line in there. Yeah. You want to roll. I mean, the flow of the co-writing session is so important, having that flow, keeping it going, and that creative energy. So some days, if we're writing together, some days you may come up with 90% of the song. Some days I may come up with 90. Some days it might be 50-50. And the important thing is at the end of the day, what's working for that song that you're working on. And it's really hard for people. It's kind of like I always took the approach where they say, okay, Ringo Starr for the Beatles, the drummer. You know, a lot of people go, oh, he played such simple parts. But then great drummers, they go, no, Ringo was a phenomenal drummer because he played the right part for the song. You know, he wasn't trying to show how flashy he was. He was trying to play something that would take the song to the next level. So whether you're a producer, whether you're a side musician, whether you're a songwriter, we're all here just to create a song, to create the magic of the song, you know?
Yeah, that's such good advice. If you've ever been in a co-write where that doesn't happen, you know what we're talking about. You know, it's just not a great experience, and you're probably not going to come out with a great song. You know?
Yeah, history is full of these, you know, stories of people like the band Aerosmith, where they were famous for going in the studio and fighting. But they weren't fighting going, well, my line's better. No, my line's better. You know, my guitar part's better. They were literally fighting for what was best for this song. And they may have disagreed on what was best for the song, but I think if everyone in the room is truly invested in what's best for that song, then you can withstand the disagreements, and, you know, until you find some common ground. But if it's an ego thing where, you know, I just want to prove how good I am or that I deserve to be here. And I think that's less common in pro writing rooms. I think most pros that we work with realize that you've got to be subservient to the song. Yeah. You know, I think when I first started, I remember thinking, well, I've got to prove my worth in this room. And so I tried to force my lines into songs. And, you know, fortunately for me, I had someone early on that said, hey, you know, I love your enthusiasm, but the song is the king here. Down. The song is king, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Ready to move on to mine?
Yeah.
So I think it was Hemingway that said, write drunk, edit sober.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's great advice because you really have to use two parts of your brain in songwriting. You have to have the part that's like free and will think of crazy things and, you know, really feels uninhibited. And then you have to have the part that can come back later and go, okay, let's look at all that mess and make sense of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of us struggle on one side or the other, like either we're too analytical and we stop that creative flow in the room, or we're just like, whoa, whatever comes out, it's great. You know, I mean, I've been in many of those rooms where like people were like, well, that's just awesome. That, you know, it just fell out. Well, yeah. A lot of things just fall out that aren't great, you know? So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and in fact, I used to pick co-writers that were very enthusiastic and loved everything because I was on the opposite. I was analyzing everything as we were writing. Mm-hmm. So I needed that opposite energy of somebody's like, no, this is great, you know? And so I think if we understand the kind of person that we are, then a lot of times it helps us pick our co-writers so that, you know, we can help balance out. It's just like if I write good melody and you write good lyrics, well, that's a good combination. But it can also work on that level of, you know, how analytical you are. You know, three people writing a song that everybody's trying to analyze this. Should this be a but or an and? Or should we just not have any word there? You know, then they're not going to get anywhere trying to finish a song that has flow to it, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's hugely important.
Yeah, so I think the big takeaway from that quote is just let yourself be free when you're writing, but then when you edit, come back and look at it and make sure that everything's right.
Yeah. Let's talk about Stephen King.
I
know he's not a songwriter, but he has a phrase called kill your darlings. And I've seen this a lot in songwriting. There's other ways that it's been put. A buddy of mine, Chris Wallen, used to say, you know, Chris, you got to be willing to take a great line out of your song and put in the right line.
Yeah.
You know, or Jason Duke says every line's a Velcro line, meaning you have to be willing to rip any line out of a song. I just gave you three quotes in a row.
Man, you like to quote myself.
I'm the master quota.
Yeah, you are.
But yeah, you've got to be willing to at any point. Oh, here's another one. Don't be married to any line in your song.
Yeah, exactly.
they basically all mean the same thing, that as pro writers, we've got to learn to get to that point where, yeah, we're putting our heart and soul and emotion into it, but you got to step back and go, okay, this line isn't working. It may be a great line. It may be one of the best lines you ever wrote in your life. Put it aside, use it in another song. It's not right for this song.
Yeah. You know? We were talking about that in our Songtown Clubhouse room the other day. Someone said, well, it's just so hard when you have a killer line to just throw it away. And I said, you don't have to throw it away. You just have to find the right song for it, you know? And I used to write with Amy Mayo, and Amy had a notebook that she would, she had a section in that notebook for lines I want to use later. And so if she came out with a great line and it didn't make that song, she just put it in there, and she would periodically go back and refresh her memory on those lines. And so, you know, you don't have to feel like you're just throwing it away. And I mean, I've even written with people that are almost in a panic of like, no, it's so good. We got to keep it. You know, we got to keep it. And it just didn't work for the song, you know? So find a way that works for you to not throw it away, but also acknowledge maybe it's not right for this song.
You just brought flashback for me. One of the first times I ever got in the room to write with a phenomenal songwriter, he was this old gruffy guy, and he'd just written so many brilliant songs. And I kept throwing out line after line that he would just kind of growl. He wouldn't even like, you know, he would barely acknowledge I threw out a line. And finally, he liked one. And so we put that in the chorus of the song. And then we're probably about 90% through with the song. And he goes, I'm not sure if that line in the chorus works. And I was like,
"Your one line?
No, I love that line." He's like, do you love it because that's the one line you came up with? It was brutal.
Oh, man.
But it taught me a lesson. Like, he was right. It wasn't the line we needed for that song. And I mean, it was brutal, but I'm glad I went through that, you know, that experience.
He was probably like, I'll throw him a bone now, but we'll come back and get rid of it later. That's funny.
Oh, man.
One of my mentors, Kim Williams, used to say, don't build a bridge if there's not a river to cross.
I like it.
And because I'd ask him the question, like, how do you decide if you're going to have a bridge in your song? And that was his response. And his point was, when you get to that point in your song, ask yourself, is there a place that I can take this song that makes it extra, that makes it beyond where we already have it? Or are we just saying more of the same? Or are we trying to sum everything up? You know, and every now and then you have a song where you want to bring all the pieces together in the bridge, but I always just think of that quote and I ask myself, when we get there, are we just saying something to say something, or is there really a reason that we need to do this? And an example would be my song, Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven. We had originally just verse, chorus, verse, chorus, chorus. And my co-writer, Jim Collins, called one day and said, can we look at this before we demo it? Because I think maybe it needs a bridge. And so I said, well, why? And we had this conversation about it. And what we realized was we wondered if the singer could sound a little sacrilegious or like he really didn't want to go to heaven. And so we wrote this bridge that solidifies the idea of like, no, I want to go. I want to be a good person, but I just don't want to go right now. And we both felt like that kind of put it over the top of like, okay, now it that took away any red flags somebody might have for the song, you know?
Right. So you needed that element to kind of, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So don't build a bridge if there's not a river to cross. You know, another one?
Well, I mean, I was just going to speak because a lot of what we've been talking about is due to lyrics and just bridges melodically today, because I get this question probably more than any question in Songtown about, do we need a new musical section for a bridge, not just the lyrics, but I think a lot of music today has that we have pre-choruses. Mm-hmm. So you've got a verse, a pre-chorus, a chorus. Sometimes you got a post-chorus. Mm-hmm. Well, that's already four sections of music.
Yeah.
You don't need a fifth section because people listening, your audience in pop, country, bluegrass, whatever you're doing, Christian music, CCR. Is that a thing? That was a band.
That was a band, yeah.
CCM.
There you go.
A lot of audiences, they're not going to tolerate more than three or four sections of music.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start adding that fourth or fifth section of music, it's just a little too much.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yep, absolutely. So do you have one more for us?
I do.
What is it?
You'll never write a great song trying to write a great song.
Wait, I try to go in every day and write a great song. So explain this to me.
Well, grasshopper. The idea behind this is great writers write great songs. So going, I got to write a great song. If that's your focus, then you're not going to do the work that gets you to the point where you can do a great song.
Yeah.
So learning to write a great song, yeah, that we would love to all write great songs, but you got to remember great writers write great songs. So work on your craft. Get better at being a songwriter. Get better at your lyrics. Get better at your music. Learn new chord progressions. Whatever it is that you need to do, get better at the craft and keep working every day at that. And then by putting in the work, those you're going to have those days when you write where a great song comes out. You know, but if your sole purpose, it's like if your sole purpose is, I want to make $1 million, you know.
Or write a number one song.
Yeah, I just got to have a number one song.
Yeah.
That's, you're not going to get there that way, you know.
Yeah.
And if you get there, if you luck out and get there, you're not going to stay there. You're not going to be happy. So it's more about learning to do the work, become a great writer, become a confident writer. And then you'll have those days while you're working where a great song is going to happen if you put in the work. But it's just a different mindset.
I think another way to say that would be, and don't look at the end result, look at how you're going to get to that. Like the journey. What's the journey that's going to take you from where you are to being able to write a hit song or a great song and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Because you're right. Focusing on the end, you know, you can't control if a song becomes number one or not. You know, all you can control is improving yourself, working on your skills and getting better every day so that every song's getting you closer and closer to where the mark is, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't have that goal, but I think when you have a goal of, I'd like, you know, like you had the goal of having a record hanging on your wall, a gold record or a platinum record hanging on your wall. And I mean, that's a good goal, but you don't, it's not the thing on your mind all the time. You know that's where you're going, but you're more focused on the work to get there.
Yeah, I think that's the key point is like, it's great to know where you're going, but you got to focus on the work to get there. I had a guy one time come to me and say, tell me about writing books because I want to write a book. And I said, well, what do you want to write a book about? And he said, I don't know. I just want a boat. And I said, wait, you want a boat? So you're going to write a book? And he goes like, yeah, I'm not going to get one any other way. And as the more we talked, I was like, you don't have anything to say. Go figure out what you want to say first. And that's kind of what we're talking about. It's like, figure out what you want to say as a songwriter and how you can improve your craft and all those kind of things. And then you're going to start writing songs that are getting you closer to that end goal of writing a great song.
Yeah. Awesome. We want to thank our sponsors, Sweetwater Music. They've been great to us. Personally, I've fed my music gear addiction for years through Sweetwater. Great customer service. Nobody knows their business better than them. And they're always there to help you out. So check the liner notes below. We have a lot of cool stuff in Songtown. We'd love to have you check out the Songtown community. We coach songwriters all over the world, all genres of music. And we'd love to see you inside the members area of Songtown.
Come on down.
Cheers.